Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sometimes it's good to talk about it. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Two on the Fan. Tiki and Tierney show back here. Obviously, Giants out of the chute. We're going to put that on pause for a moment. Pick it back up shortly at 877-337-6666. Julian Love coming up, 1140. His usual weekly chat here on Tiki and Tierney. So Durant, Kyrie, and Randall all spoke, and we'll react to their angles at Media Day. All interesting ones, and we'll do that. But, you know, listen, I said it yesterday, and I meant it. Now the more Aaron Boone needs to sit Aaron Judge for a game. I mean, trying to hit a home run is the toughest thing to do in sports.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like trying to drill a jump shot or run a 10-yard route or not that's easy with a quarterback on you. But still, you know, it's the pressure. You can see it on his face now.
Yeah.
The way, and it's a nice presentation. I appreciate it. There's theater. And everybody wants a little, although I'm surprised they didn't break in during the Giants-Cowboys game, which I was fine with. Well, I thought they might, but they didn't, for Zach Bats in Toronto. But when he walks up to the plate, especially now that he's leading off every single game, mm-hmm. like, you know, the camera's on him for a good 30 seconds before he gets announced, that he's bringing up a lot of baggage to home plate, and it's hard enough to hit. Teague, and I don't need him playing three games on that turf up there at Rogers Center.
You don't want him hurt.
Got a World Series to chase here.
Yeah, I hear you, and it's interesting because he's had a process all season long, and 149
games so far
out of 153.
Yes.
So the durability's been amazing, and it's again, you're not worried about that. But the only thing that it seems we're focused on over the last at least week and a half is whether or not he's going to get to 61 and then ultimately pass it to 62. But it belies the fact that he's had a pretty damn good month, right?
Yes. Even his first at-bat last night ripped a bullet to right field.
Exactly.
Beautiful.
Right. I mean,
piece of hitting.
Over the last couple of weeks, he's hitting like 500. You know what I mean? And so we're looking at it like it's a failure, but because we're waiting for the home run. But he's actually playing great baseball. He is the baseball player that you want for a team that's competing for, you know, postseason, you know, dominance and ALCS and ultimately a World Series. In fact, in September, I'm just looking at it, 429. His OPS in September mm-hmm. is 1400. Right, he's just dominant,
and that's after a rough series against the Red Sox.
That's
it's
right.
Like the only series he really didn't.
That's
you know,
right.
Had a couple of bombs on that Sunday in Milwaukee. He's been raking everywhere. The Red Sox handled him a little bit, but he's been great.
He's been
hitting
great.
The ball.
But the only thing we're seemingly worried about is: are you going to get to 61? And statistically,
of course,
it's going
to
happen. And then he's going to get to 62.
Yes,
and then all these things. But that pressure seems to be more important than what he's actually paid to do, which is be a great baseball player, even though he DH'd a couple of those times in Boston.
For sure. It's very weird. Like, I'm watching this chase through an historical prism, which I really appreciate because we all assume that Aaron's clean and this is authentic and mm-hmm. it's the complete opposite of all the others at a different generation. Like, he represents so much good. By the way, did you see the shirt that he was wearing yesterday?
I did
you see
but
this floating around? Good news. it is confirmed Aaron Judge is going to sign with the Yankees. Why? You know what the shirt said?
What did it say?
Because I have one for the Knicks. Uh-huh. It says, New York or nowhere. And he was wearing that yesterday.
Nice.
And I don't think that was by accident. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much. You probably are. But the Yankees are, while they're 7.5 games up, they still haven't wrapped up the division here.
No.
So, like, you know, I'm watching this through this historical lens, and I appreciate it because it's so rare. But it's so weird to still be in. It's not a pennant race. They're obviously going to, you know, they're going to win. They're going to win it. But that secondary, it's so weird. And I can't imagine I'm alone as a Yankee fan. Like, there's much more. And when I watch the Mets, there's much more urgency in what they do. That's why when DeGrom got knocked around on Saturday, it was alarming. You know, the Braves, and you're always following them nightly. Like, you know, if the Yankees aren't playing the Jays or the Rays, I check all the scores, but it's not like, oh, what did they do? Mm-hmm. What did they do? Where people like Evan and every other maniacal Mets fan, Hoff and all the great Mets fans at the station, they need to, like, they've got two TVs on. I'm chilling. Yanks are fine in terms of the East here.
You're right.
You got to make sure your horse is ready to run. Now, I don't need him 3 days on that artificial surface in Toronto. I don't need him compartmentalizing or attempting to compartmentalize these various chambers of pressure that have to weigh him down.
Yeah,
just give him the night off.
I can't argue with that. I can't disagree with it. But the bigger issue with Aaron Judge is: are you worried that he's worn down? Right? Are you worried that these next 9 games are going to somehow impinge his ability to be who he's been all season long in the postseason?
No, get a little rest in between series. You get the first round bye. Right. Those teams will have run out.
And that'll
be good.
That's why you let him grind. That's why Aaron Boone is letting him grind, because they're gonna be one of the top teams. Like, they're not even in danger. Cleveland maybe catches. No, nobody's
no
catching.
No way.
Cleveland's not catching up because they're.
No, they
they're
have eight more losses than the Yankees, the Guardians
back.
Do.
So they're going to get the break between the regular season and the divisional series. So they're not worried about it. So they're just letting Aaron Judge feel it out and get the home run. The only reason it feels like he needs a break is because of the pressure of this home run chase.
No, of course.
It is non. Stop.
It's real.
It is real.
It's real.
Like, you, it's interesting. Like, when you're about to do something like this, you can't literally feel the eyes on you, but he's got to feel the eyes on him. Like,
why can't you? I know a lot of people misuse the word literally. Well, why can't you literally feel the eyes of the stadium upon everything that you do?
So I told you what happened to me this weekend. I was down in Texas, in Lubbock, calling the Texas Tech game. People, they don't care. Like, no, we're watching, you know, local feeds. We're watching, you know, national feeds. They don't necessarily care about Aaron Judge.
Well, good, because we don't care about them.
Whatever.
We don't care about the Red Raiders.
They're breaking in with everything. So, like, halfway across the country, people are watching Aaron Judge at bats.
Were they talking about it? Did you have any conversations?
I couldn't hear.
Anybody? Hey, Tico.
No.
You know, you're on the Fan in New York. Well, anybody bring up the Judge stuff?
No.
Interesting.
But when we are out, like, we go out to dinner, right? And the Yankees are playing, like, or lunch or whatever. You they break in.
Oh yeah.
So the eyes are all watching this, and he's got to be aware of that.
He is.
There's just a little bit of, I don't know, pressure.
I'd sit him tonight, man. I'd sit him tonight because look at this. Well, you could do this. If you really want to steal a couple of days, you play him tonight. The only reason I would play him tonight is because Berrios has been trash. Mm-hmm. His ERA is over 5.
Well, there you go.
So you play him tonight, he gets the record, and then it doesn't matter. He cranks 2 off of a guy who's
and then it's over.
Whose ERA is over 5.
And now he can rest for the rest of the season.
Well, not the rest of the season because you still want to, you know, make sure you just keep going. But here's the thing. If you play him tonight, and then you rest him tomorrow. Yes, if you rest him Wednesday, there's an off day on Thursday built in. You get Wednesday, Thursday off. Okay? If you don't break it tonight and he plays against Berrios and he just doesn't do it, now he's fresh for 3 games at the stadium this weekend against Baltimore.
Yeah.
And then it's go time.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's off to Texas for 4, including a ridiculously moronic doubleheader. There's no way he's playing, but, well, actually, he DH1. Mm-hmm. I think the time to rest him, he's got to sit one of these next 2 days in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to.
Here's a hypothetical. You get to, I don't know, game 58, 59, let's go. And he's passed the record. So by then, hopefully he's
meaning he's at 62.
He's got 64.
At least.
Let's say he's got 64.
All right.
He's a point up in the batting title,
which
over,
he currently is as well
over Bogarts.
Yeah, Bogarts and was it Arise?
Arise
from Minnesota.
Yep.
They're both at what, 313, 314.
Yep. Bogarts and Arise.
He's a point up.
He's a point up.
Yep.
He's got three games left. You sit him to win the Triple Crown.
You know, it's funny because that happened. That actually happened. Not for the Triple Crown, but for the batting title. That would have been. Hey, Hoff, do me a favor. Check out the specifics. I want to make sure I have this. It wasn't 85. I think it was 86, which is the year Clemens won the MVP. And Boggs and Mattingly were vying for the. It could have been 85, but I think it was 86. Vying for the batting crown, and the Red Sox basically said, "Well, you know, Boggs's hamstrings a little twice." That's the year they lost to the Mets in the World Series. Yeah. They had higher aspirations. Yankees didn't make the playoffs, no wild card, so they were able to justify kind of sitting Boggsy a little bit, and then Mattingly went, as he always did with the healthy back because he's Donnie Baseball, went absolutely bonkers up in Fenway, doubles off the wall, a bomb. I think he had a home run his first at bat. And then Boggs actually got himself back in the game. So it's happened before where guys will sit to preserve. And at that point, I don't have an issue with it. But knowing Judge, I don't think he'd want to win it that way.
I think you're right.
I don't think he would want to win it that way.
But that lives forever. You win the Triple Crown. Big Zoo's telling me about 2011 where Jose Reyes bunts to get the base hit and then takes himself out of the game.
I don't have an issue with that. Dude, here's the thing.
It's just interesting because you're right, BT.
No, not Willie McGinn, 85. It was the Boggs Mattingly chase. I think it was 86 up in Fenway. It doesn't matter. I think I had most of it, right?
It's okay. Those things don't matter. But they do.
Well, here's where it would matter. If you barely have the requisite amount of plate appearances, like you need X amount of at-bats to qualify for batting title, and if like you're just inside the number and you kind of missed 40-ish games, and I think you have a little bit more of a professional, not like a commit responsibility to maybe finish the race a little more aggressively, but man, if you've accrued over 600-something at-bats and you want to sit a final? I would rather play myself.
Yeah.
But I get it. What do you have, Huff?
In 86, Boggs sat the last four games.
It was 86. Okay, so it was 86.
And he won the batting
title. But
didn't
he come off, or he almost came off the bench? Didn't, it was a hamstring. I don't know if he got an at-bat or two, or was beginning to think. He was thinking about getting in the game because Mattingly was getting so hot.
Yeah.
And he thought he would have needed a hit or two to win the title, to keep it. But then I think Mattingly made a few outs. He never had a play. I think that's how it went.
Well, it doesn't matter at all. For the success of the team, it doesn't matter if Aaron Judge wins the Triple Crown.
No. I mean, but for the organization's branding, for his contractual, I mean, think about this. I mean, we've been saying for months it's the greatest self-bet of all time. You imagine if he bags the Triple Crown?
Yeah, then historically,
oh my God,
it becomes the greatest season, one of the greatest seasons, if not the greatest season of all time.
I think it's the greatest. I don't know how you dispute that.
And
some nerd could come up with some formula that would repeat that.
And by the way,
let's just be honest.
In a walk year, no less.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Incorporating that, for sure, that's a no-brainer. Yes, Hoff?
Me, I didn't say nothing. Uh-huh. But sure. Listen, Boggs, I just was, what I did look about the Boggs Mattingly
stuff. Spit it out, dude. Come on.
Boggs said he was dying to play because if Mattingly went 6-for-6,
something like that,
he would kick himself in the butt.
Yes, and Mattingly started that series hot. I think he homered his first at bat. Either way, I'm in the weeds on something that Hoff is not helping me with that I thought he might.
I love how BT's mind works. He yells at Hoff, yes, Hoff. Hoff doesn't want to say anything.
No, I'm not yelling.
But then when Hoff is trying to figure out what to say, BT's yelling at him to spit it out.
Yeah. I mean, listen. I'm a professional, but I ain't that freaking good.
I mean, it's not that hard to find a game on Google. I mean, I could have found it.
The problem is,
he's just grumpy. He's on this stupid diet for 5 weeks.
Just behind the scenes, I have two people asking me two different questions. I was looking up two different things behind the scenes.
Hold on, time out.
You asked first, but I had two people asking me stuff.
Gotcha. 20-second timeout. Unless it was Spike Eskin, our boss. Hold on. Nobody within this 4 hour, nobody at all, is more important in terms of asking you a question than us.
Than Big Zoo. Right, and you both asked me questions.
Who asked you, Spike or...
No, you asked me one thing and Tiki asked me another thing.
What did Tiki ask you?
He wanted to know about the Jose Reyes in 2011, so you both asked me
questions. Oh, but he didn't say that on the air.
No.
Oh, well, I don't know that. What do we have, nine different private conversations going on with
Taylor? I'm Uncle Bolt, you guys.
What do we have, three radio shows going on at once?
Yes.
Jeez.
There's a behind the scenes, in front of the scenes.
All right, well, listen, the other rule is this. If Tiki asks you a question and I ask you a question, my question is always more important.
That's right, because you know what? I'm going to look mine up myself.
Wait, if you're going to look it up yourself, why were you asking him all the time?
Because I thought he knew off the top of his head. He's a Mets fan.
You see what I got every day?
I forgot the
year,
though. He's a Mets fan.
Circus.
PT, he's a Mets fan. If that had happened, I don't know, pick a player from, I don't know.
From the
Don
Yankees?
Don Mattingly, 1986. From 2010.
For the Yankees?
For the Yankees.
Swisher.
If Nick Swisher had won the batting title and there was a specific situation that,
yes,
that allowed him to win that title, and I ask you about it.
I would know it.
You would know it.
Okay.
So when Jose Reyes did this in 2011, I didn't know the year.
I absolve you for not knowing, but the Mets fan is supposed to
right.
know.
Joe
Beningo, huh?
Joe Beningo was 69 years old. His birthday was yesterday. There you go.
You know what? Listen, here's the bottom line.
That's why I asked him. I thought it would be a quick recollection. Oh, yeah, that was 2011.
Okay, I can appreciate
not
that.
Not like I got to go to Google Baseball Reference.
I'll critique you on this. No. Listen, take the L, Hoff. Just take the L. Take the L, dude.
Take the L.
He is grumpy as hell. This guy's on a 5-week diet that's going to ruin our lives.
That's right.
Because he's trying to. And by the way, what? 15 pounds you shed.
Close to it, yeah.
You're looking good, man. Keep it up, dude. We're proud of you. Even if it's to the detriment of the show. 877-337-6666. Tiki and Tierney on the Fan.
The Bronx Bombers.
It is hot. It is far. It is gone.
The home of Yankees baseball is WFAN.
Yankees win. The Yankees.
The Fan on 101.9 FM and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 11:23 on The Fan. What's happening? This is the Tiki and Tierney Show. Appreciate you guys for riding with us here. Monday through Friday from 10 to 2 every day here on The Fan. Cartner Roberts after us at 2. We've got Julian Love. Got number love for you.
I was waiting for it.
Well, you know, I got to say every time. You know, do you think, boy? he's going to join us in about 7 or 8 minutes. He will join us every Tuesday. If you're new to the show, Julian every Tuesday. Joe Beningo for his ranting, raving spot every Monday. And, you know, it was at 11:40. It was so wild yesterday. I mean, the tempers were flaring with the Jets, and rightfully so. But he dropped in a little bomb at the end about DeGrom where, I mean, I didn't really have time to disagree. I think it was – I love Joe. Joe has had a million nutty takes over the years, right, led by emotion. I've had a few as well. His take on Jacob DeGrom was ridiculous.
Yeah, just to reset it, he basically said he's going to let him walk.
He said he doesn't want to give him a dime.
Yeah.
Like he was angry at DeGrom. It was odd. It was misplaced, Zoo.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing the Saturday show with them lately.
And?
He's been going off on DeGrom every week? Like,
Evan's
every
been
weekend?
Like, oh, this is my guy. He's the best pitcher, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, that's his, like, I mean, DeGrom. Now, bro. Evan revered
and
DeGrom.
And Joe goes the other way hard?
Hard. But what's does the, not what, want what's him the... here and does not think he wants to be here.
Okay. So Joe's taking it personally.
Yes, I think that's where a lot of his anger comes from.
Okay, gotcha. All right, you know what? I can respect that a little bit more. But I actually think there's a good chance DeGrom's going to leave. Mm-hmm. You and I have both thought that for a while.
Because he doesn't want to be here?
Yes.
Yes.
Not because the Mets aren't going to offer him whatever they're going to offer him. I just think that, and I don't know if it will necessarily be the Rangers. He's been connected loosely there. I know Buster Olney had that report. I think maybe Heyman or Joel Sherman, one of those really good, you know, baseball writers, had it. I know Buster definitely did. We'll see. But it's not, you know, that Stevie Cohen's going to offer him a deal.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm thinking, I'm going to put myself in Joe's shoes, like, who is a crazy Mets fan, and obviously you have an old Mets fan. It's like, if I was a devout Mets fan, and I had a thought, like a strong conviction, that he was going to leave me at the altar... do I take the preemptive move emotionally and start doing what Joe's baby?
No, you start prepping yourself for the exit, and you probably unnecessarily malign a guy whose right it is to go someplace else if he wants to go someplace else. Now, why he would with a team that is competitive right now, right? The Mets have as good a shot as anyone to get to the NLCS. I'm not saying they're going to beat the Dodgers and go to the World Series, but... they can definitely beat the Braves. They can definitely beat
You know, the Cardinals, whoever comes their way, you're giving the Mets a shot. Now, if you're Jacob DeGrom, what is it about right now? Is it long-term security? Because he signed a decent deal, but it wasn't you know bank-breaking, mm-hmm. right? Or is it go win a championship
in a town yeah.
that will revere you if you do so for life?
Why, you don't think the Mets fans revere DeGrom?
No.
I do.
No. If he leaves? If he voluntarily...
No, like, but they revere him now as much as anybody
here. We've had this conversation about Judge. If he leaves and goes to San Francisco or wherever,
uh-huh.
Will we still love him or will we kind of say...
No, eh. We'll feel jilted.
So what happens if DeGrom leaves?
Oh, we'll feel jilted. Mets fans will feel jilted.
And so will there still be this reverence for
him? Oh, I thought you meant now. My bad. I thought you meant the reverence level now.
No, I mean if he leaves.
Okay, yeah, no, I agree with that. Like, I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
We had this great guy, DeGrom, he was amazing. If only we could have won a championship. I miss him. Or will it be, get the hell out of here. Good riddance. You don't want us, we don't want you. Huh. That's interesting.
You know, that it's a little different. It is interesting. It's a little different. I see it a little differently than the Judge stuff because for almost all of DeGrom's tenure with the Mets, he was under the ownership of people who didn't care about winning whatever it took to win.
That's right. They weren't trying to.
They cared about money. So I think there might be a different level of the grudge that's held might be a little easier to break down mm-hmm. than if Judge bolts, even though that'll also be because he wants to go home. Now, if it's a different team other than the Giants, then it's totally different. Then we go crazy. If Judge goes to the Rangers or something wacky, which he won't. Anthony's on Staten Island. Anthony's on the Fan. What's up, buddy?
What's up, Ant?
Hey, guys. Peaky, big fan.
Thank you, bro.
I love your show, both of you. But I have to say a couple of things. I want DeGrom out of here, too.
Ooh.
What Joe's saying is, why would you break the bank for this guy who doesn't want to be here?
Okay.
He doesn't want to be here. I totally believe his agent told him to shut it down last July. Because you're going to ruin your shoulder, and this team's going nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Judge, on the other hand, during the All-Star game, I don't know what his thing is. He said it's out of his hands.
Yeah, that bothered us. That was ridiculous. That was with the female reporter.
I love the
yeah.
kid. I do love him. My sources, which is me, tell me he's going to
my sources.
And he's definitely going to San Francisco. I think the kid wants to go home.
Yep, he might. So, and if he goes anywhere, he's going there. Anything else before we get to Julian Love quick?
Oh, yes. I just wanted to say that kid Spike, he sounded just like Spider from Goodfellas. And it looked like the scene from when they were playing cards downstairs.
I don't think anybody's going to walk around the radio station firing bullets at Spike's foot.
No, definitely not.
I don't think so. Anthony, thank a little bit of everything with that call. All right. Well, listen, Teak, we were hoping for 3-0. Well, I mean, we were just hoping for a competitive team when the season started. We didn't really know what to expect with these Giants. But despite the tough loss last night, a tough four-quarter game, a couple of calls went against the Giants. You know, a couple of plays they could have made that they didn't, but right down to the wire. 3 games, 2 wins, all in all, probably a little bit better than we thought. We're joined by Julian Love once again. He's with us every single Tuesday here on The Fan on the Teak and Tierney Show. Julian, how you doing today, buddy? What's happening?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We are good. Hey, Julian, what was the message? I usually get a chance to hear, you know, Dable post-game just from other sources, but what was his message after this loss last night?
Yeah, so I would say that, you know, he was very composed. You know, it was a tough loss against him.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You know, division rival. You know, guys were obviously upset, frustrated, all that stuff. But he was composed, and he believes in the process. He believes in our growth. And so it's a short week until, you know, he kind of, his mindset was to quickly get it behind us and move on, you know, to go now 3-1.
Yeah. Now, from a player standpoint, you were a tackling machine. You led the team in tackles with 10 solo, 14 total. That's just the stats that they see. But how did you guys feel you played? Did you leave this one on the field, right? Or were there missed opportunities out there for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think the effort was there. I think everyone played, you know, all out for sure. But there was plays that were left on that field, no doubt, in all phases. And so that's what we leave thinking about. I think in defense we need to execute way better in order to be what this team needs us to be. And, you know, obviously I'm a defensive guy, so that's how I see it. Especially since we got to execute better, and offense has to do their thing. And so, yeah, I think that's just the consensus feeling for sure.
How'd you like the whiteout? What was it like being on the field, 80,000 people all wearing white for the most part? Was it cool?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. You know, I think it was probably the most electric game I've been to, or I've been a part of, you know, since I've been on the Giants, which has been, it was fun. I mean, had fireworks, you know, the whiteout was cool. The jerseys were nice. It was a great atmosphere. People were out there tailgating
for absolutely.
Hours before the game.
You know how we do it. We show up, we get drunk. Game's over, we get more drunk. we're talking to Julian Love here on the Fantiki and Tierney Show. Just on a serious note, before we dive back into the game and what's ahead for you guys, Sterling Shepard, a horrible situation. I know how much you guys revere him, the respect that you have for the work that he put in with the Achilles, which is about as a debilitating as injury any athlete can have. I want to ask you about the turf at MetLife. I don't attribute that injury to the turf at all, but it's last year. Bosa got hurt. There's a lot of complaints about the MetLife turf. Do you think there's something wrong with it, honestly?
Yeah, obviously you hear that, and I know NFLPA looks into that sort of stuff and the playing services. It meets all standards. I think just, you know, there's been some bad luck on it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I think, you know, a lot of teams play on grass. I personally prefer grass. I know, you know, Tiki probably preferred grass as well.
No doubt.
It's just, you know, it's easier on your body. And so, yeah, I mean, it's tough, but, you know, I wouldn't attribute this to the turf at all. I mean,
yeah.
It's just one of those freak things that, I mean, you absolutely hate to see.
Yeah, no, he's going to be a big loss because of the receiving core. It's obviously young, it's developing, et cetera. But another question on the turf. I noticed early in the game, I forget who it was in coverage. I think it was Adoree. I think it's definitely Adoree. Adoree Jackson in coverage. It was a comeback route. It was a short comeback, 10-yard comeback to CeeDee Lamb. It was almost like he had no traction, right? I know he had cleats on, but I was watching his feet as he was like slipping a little bit. And it made me quite like look and like, what kind of shoes does he have on? Like, is he wearing turf shoes or is he wearing like cleats? Like, what do you wear on that surface? Because I think that might be the issue why people hate that turf. It feels like it's an in-between field turf. You know what I mean? Like, you could wear nubs, or you could wear spikes, or you could wear flat shoes. Like, what do you wear on that turf?
Yeah, you definitely have to wear your normal cleats, your normal set of cleats. You know, sometimes in grass, you could wear a longer spike.
Yeah.
I could dig in more.
Yep.
You can't wear that on this turf. You just have to wear normal cleats. It was a little slick that day and all that stuff. And you got to keep your feet under you. But, you know, we practice on that turf a lot. We play on that turf a lot. And so, you know, it should be our advantage as a team to know what that turf is like.
Yeah.
So, Julian, I think that the listeners would find this interesting. Just take us behind the curtain a little bit here. So, you know, game's over a little bit before midnight. Guys take a shower, get dressed, hit the media requirements, get in the car. I'm sure you live within a reasonable drive from the stadium. You're obviously up at 11:30 talking to us, which I'm sure is the first thing that you want to do.
I can't wait to get up and talk to Tiki and Dearney.
after a tough loss and a late night. But what do you do the rest of the day? I mean, how does the body feel? Do you watch film? Do you go lift weights? What is the life of a pro athlete after a Monday night game?
Yeah, so, you know, in general, it's tough to sleep after a game. I'm not sure if it's the adrenaline still, like, not wearing off. And so I know guys are getting to sleep really late last night. And I don't know what they do. Guys, you know, watch TV, play video games, whatever, at night.
Took a little bit.
I was going to say, you know,
it's legal now.
Invite a couple of girls over, listen, pull up a little pre-roll, you know, you can gamble, everything's legal, do whatever you want.
I'm just joking. Don't answer that.
No, but, you know, so it's a late night, you're going to sleep late. It's a late start game. And so today, like for me, I got up at, let's say, I think 9:30. Came in to get some treatment at 10, but I know majority of guys are sleeping in today.
Yeah.
And really, today's all about kind of getting – it's crazy because I watch the game as soon as I get home. I watch the TV copy right away.
Yeah. Wow.
And then I'll watch the our film copy. And so I buzzed through it already a couple times. And, you know, so you get that out of the way. You got to get some – closure on it. Obviously, we're going to get some coaching on it, but then you move forward. Like with this short week, play on Monday night, we have the Bears Sunday. And so now I'm watching and looking forward to, you know, the Bears and who we have coming in. And the rest of the day also is just, you know, to my family and just hang out with my wife all day.
Yeah.
And just getting this time, that time to decompress.
Yeah. Nice. Julian, let me ask you, because last weekend I saw after the win, Coach Daboll was talking about the process, right? If this would have been a loss, you got to stay focused on the process. You guys are 2-1. I know a lot of the prognosticators had picked you guys to win this game. BT and I were not skeptical, but we knew that you could steal it, but the Cowboys are probably really good right now. They're more constructed, even though they're without their starting quarterback and Dak Prescott. But Cooper Rush played great. When you look at like where this team is right now, obviously you're still trying to build into something great, and you might be a year away or who knows. But how do you guys think about like the wins and losses and the process that you guys are going through right now as Coach Dabes is consistently, I know, talking to you all about?
Yeah, that's a good question. I was thinking about this on my drive this morning about kind of the mental and the mindset of this team. And I got to say, I really like it because, you know, in years past, you get super high with wins and then you get super low with losses. And so it's like, you know, it seems like the end of the world when you lose. But Dave's since, you know, OTA, since camp has said, listen, we're going to win, we're going to lose. It's how we go about each week and how we can grow from each of them. And so after the wins, he wasn't like, I mean, obviously he was dancing after that first one, which is funny. But he was like, you know, this game, the outcome could easily have been different. And when you put it in that perspective and about like what you do in the game is more important than, you know, the end result, I think that's what will help this team grow. And so obviously we're upset about the loss, but we know that the process still needs to be the process. And we need to execute what needs to be executed on the field, regardless of if we win, lose. It's all about that.
Yep, I got you. That makes sense. We're talking to Julian Love of the Giants every Tuesday here on The Fan right around 11:30, Tiki and Tierney Show. So you mentioned the Bears. You turn the page. You get ready for them. We obviously are consumed with this because it's our job. I wonder, though, how much the first couple of weeks of the season you personally pay attention to the Eagles, and I don't just mean if they win or lose, like the way you dive a little deeply into some film or some stats and keep an eye on the Commanders. Like how entrenched are you in what the rest of the division's doing so far?
I mean, I keep an eye on them for sure. I think you're not looking to win, you know, the division if you're not looking at who's in your division. And so, yeah, I mean, I've been watching their games when I have time. And just keeping an eye on for sure to see what type, you know, what players they have and all that stuff. And yeah, I would say you take it week to week, but for sure you have our division opponents specifically always
you keep an extra tab for them. Always.
Yeah, you try to juggle, but you can't get too consumed. You got what's in front of you. I understand that. You know, Julian, right. we asked you last week about Kenny Golladay, and you said, you know, very complimentary. He's putting the work in. He's grinded. He was outspoken. I didn't think it was really anti-team or as combustible. I think some people hijacked it. The guy wants to play, and he let it be known. And I was actually okay with that. Well, he got a look last night. He didn't do a whole lot. Do you sense that this is a situation that can continue? What do you think happens with Golladay? Because I can't imagine he's thrilled today, and I can't imagine the Giants are thrilled with what he did on the field last night.
Yeah, no, he's probably, a little upset, by the one that got away, especially at the end of the game. But from the previous weeks to this past week of practice and getting after it, I mean, he was turned up a notch this week in preparation. I think that sense of urgency is there for him to be on the field. I mean, he wants to win. He wants to contribute. And if you're in this league, I mean, or at least I hope that, you want to be able to contribute to a team. You want to win. And so that was evident this week. I mean, specifically this week, he was really grinding. And so obviously, in the game, you want to see that carried over to the game. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting to see now how he responds and if he keeps dialing it up a notch, in practice to get us even good looks because, we're going to need him.
Yeah,
at the end of the day, we're going to need him.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it.
With Sterling going down. Listen, Julian, always good chatting. Go spend some good time with the wife. Maybe get something to eat. Just relax, chill. Mm-hmm. Tough one last night. But three games, two wins, not a bad way to start the season. Thanks a lot, buddy. We'll get you next week.
Take care, Julian.
Joe. Appreciate you guys.
All right. Yeah, there he is. Julian Love every week here on the Fan, Tiki and Tierney.
Tell us about the receipts you are keeping. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
All right, TK and Tierney back on the Fan. Julian Love, appreciate his thoughts on the Giants game last night. Every Tuesday here on the show at 11:40. All right, about 13 minutes from now, we're going to go all in 12 noon, 12:20. Yankee tickets. We'll also react to KD, Kyrie, and Julius Randle as the those guys had their respective media days. But it's almost this is the best time of the year. I know I go back and forth. I've always said this, but...
You love the spring because of baseball starting, but
I do.
There's just something about the chill in the air.
Yeah.
Football is getting in the full swing.
The juggle, the holidays, Thanksgiving around the corner, right. Santa coming. It's awesome.
Basketball is about to start.
Oh, yeah.
Hockey.
Oh, yeah.
Hockey's already going.
Don't disrespect hockey.
We got puck. We talk puck.
Listen, man. Boomer's
not.
Nobody cares about hockey, Boomer. Where's that drop when you need it? That is one of the best
Rangers
drops.
Rangers won big last night, right? 3-0. 4-0.
I have no idea.
One thing was 4-1 final score.
I don't know.
I know more what the Texas Rangers did last night than the New York Rangers did in an exhibition game.
Yeah, right.
I'm not that dialed into hockey yet.
Yeah, I was surprised, actually, on my CBS Sports app.
Yeah.
It popped up. I was like, there's a hockey game tonight?
Wow.
I kept getting notifications.
Yeah, crazy. Me too. I was like, what?
A little early for that. Mm. And a little early to get wrapped up in that.
Very early for it.
But you know what? Hockey, devout hockey fans don't think that because I'm watching the first couple of Nick preseason games.
Yeah,
I am. And there's a lot of storylines with both of these teams. We're not going to dive too deeply into it, obviously, today. But a little later, we do want to react to what those guys said.
Yeah.
Because it was three very interesting storylines. But between the Mets and the Wild, I guess not that wild. Because I got hit up on Twitter. A lot of people kind of having Joe B's back on this.
Really?
Well, because,
about DeGrom not wanting DeGrom?
About DeGrom. Now, I've thought this. I've intimated this. But we weren't doing local radio, so we didn't dive too deeply into it. I always wondered, I'm like, man, first of all, this guy, there's too many interruptions to almost each season recently. And there was a thought like, is he not holding out? Because I don't want to challenge his competitive juices that directly. I think it's almost unfair.
Yeah.
But man, oh man, you have to wonder mentally how he was juggling availability and health and contractual projections. And I think that's what, for those Met fans that have dug in like Joe and some others that want him gone, I think that they think that he kind of checked out once the Mets swore competing.
Yeah. And that's
that'll bother me too.
You wonder what kind of advice he was getting that forced him, or at least made him not come back last year.
right?
Yeah, I know Sandy said that if they were to pennant race, that they would have brought him back after the July 7th when they put him on ice. And who knows? Mm-hmm. Maybe that's just them protecting him. We'll never know.
But you know what? That's, we'll never know. To me, that sounds almost like what these college kids do when their teams stink and they don't want to play in the bowl games, right? Why am I going to risk getting hurt for nothing? And I'll wait until next year. Or yeah, I'll wait until I get drafted.
Boy,
if you're good, you go.
That's an aggressive stance to take on an all-timer. I can't quite go that far in that direction.
But if he was healthy, why wasn't he pitching?
I can't answer that.
Unless maybe
he really wasn't healthy.
And then that might be the issue.
Yeah, I mean, and I also, I mean, start to talk about history now, mm-hmm. but like I thought it made no sense for him to come back throwing 101 miles per hour his first spring training outing.
Right.
Remember Scherzer went deep? And Scherzer went deep. I think Scherzer may have gone, six innings in his first exhibition start? I think it was six innings. It was definitely more lengthy mm-hmm. than we thought. And then DeGrom was pumping triple digits. I'm like, why? Why?
Because they're excited for Buck.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know. I'm making things up.
Yeah. Erickson Clifton on the Fan. What's up, Eric? How are you?
What's up, Eric?
How we doing today?
What's good, going man. On, dude? What do you got?
Queens is in New York, right?
Yes.
I'm just looking at this shirt. No New York or nowhere. I was just thinking.
you on the Hoff train, Eric. Judge
yeah,
to New York. Judge
loud.
To the
it's
Mets.
Just, don't mind me.
No, I'm not
but yeah,
at all.
But back to your conversation about Judge and DeGrom.
Yes.
You know, again, we keep coming back, though. DeGrom, you know, he's made a lot more money than Judge, $137 million. And if it's going to come down to money, nobody's going to offer him more than Stevie Cohen. So if he wants to go, it's just because he wants to go somewhere else.
No, I'm going to hold on. I do think because what the Rangers did a year ago with Seager and with Simeon and the new ballpark and the need to have it full and the need to get some pitching.
Yeah, they spent money last year.
Yes,
in fact,
they did.
This past offseason, that was one of the targets I was saying for Judge.
Yeah, it used to piss me off. I used to just try to shut you down so fast.
But you
fast,
know
but
I was somewhat right. Because well, they're spending money.
Their spending habits have been well chronicled. And listen, I think there's a little slightly greater than 50-50 chance he leaves the Mets, which would suck for us because watching greatness is awesome, mm-hmm. especially, you know, all-time transcendent talent. But I could see the Rangers matching Cohen or even a couple of bucks more. That wouldn't stop, and nobody else. But I could see the Rangers doing that.
And you make a great point. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, it's not about how much you make. It's about how much you keep. And if you go to a salary tax state, it makes a huge difference at the end of the day. I mean, mm-hmm. people don't want to hear that, but
it's true.
You know, you look at percentage basis about how much you keep it. As for Judge, I mean, BT, would you really be pissed, though, if Judge leaves, given what the Yankees offered him and how, you know, they put that out there? I mean, if I'm him, I would have been pissed. And I mean,
no, he was pissed. You knew he was pissed.
I mean, how could you not? Just kind of like, it seems like they just put that out there just to kind of make themselves look
well,
better.
Well, we've talked about that. And I was all over Cashman for that. Tiki was all over Cashman for that. We really disagreed. That was a public ploy that blew up in their face. He really misread that. Bad PR move on the part of Cashman. But to answer your question, would I be mad if Judge left? I would be incredibly disappointed if he leaves, I'd be disappointed no matter what. But I would be... Not to be overly dramatic, but in the sporting sense, I would be a little hurt if it's the Giants. I get that it's his hometown.
Yeah.
If it's somewhere else, it's a totally different set of emotions.
Yeah, but are you pissed at Judge or are you pissed at the organization?
I'm pissed at everybody.
Yeah.
But that's my point. You gotta aim your guns in the right direction. I mean, this is a Steinbrenner ownership thing. They screwed themselves before the season started because
I disagree,
they only
Eric.
Had one person to bet against.
Yeah, but hold on, Eric, hold on.
Hold
on, but that anger slowly dissipates over the course of 6 months, okay? Now, you got to understand this. If the Yankees offer him $360 million and the Giants offer him $360 million, and I'm just throwing numbers out, obviously, and he goes to San Francisco because he wanted to be Barry Bonds growing up as a kid, how can I be mad at the Yankees? But as long as the Yankees match, I know what happened with the offer and the public acknowledgement, and it was a bad move. But as long as the Yankees take one massive swing that either matches or exceeds anybody, and he just goes home, how can I be mad at the Yankees?
I don't disagree with you, but again, I mean, the time to sign him was before the season started. When you look on a relative basis, Tiki's brought this up, and you've also brought this up. It's an AAV issue.
Yeah.
And when you look at the players that are in the stratosphere, he was completely lowballed. And if they weren't going to pay him $350 or $400 million, you know, last year, do you really think that they're going to do it after this year?
Yes.
I mean, I think they have to.
I think,
I don't know,
you know what, Eric?
After
I think
this season, I don't know how you would look. You guys should burn that stadium to the ground if they don't.
Yeah, look,
that.
I think we hope that the Yankees will do the right thing. I think the Yankees were trying to conserve money. They were trying to conserve luxury tax spend. They were being fiscally responsible.
No, they're being cheap. You don't have to church it up. They were being cheap.
I churched it up because I'm speaking from the Yankees perspective, from the Judge perspective, who's a superstar. From our fan perspective, we know he's a superstar. Pay the dude, man. I'm talking about this past offseason. Every other superstar gets paid slash overpaid. Aaron Judge was getting lowballed because the Yankees were being cheap.
Lowballed's a little harsh, or this is where you and I disagree. He's 30 years old, and I love the guy, and he's had some injuries.
The fair offer was nonsense.
Let me grant you this. Even if they were being a little cheap, a little tight, it wasn't like it was egregiously cheap. It was slightly off. Well, how much should they have offered? $300 million out of the chute?
I mean,
come on. He's 30.
Yeah, but
now you have to because of what he did.
The problem is they were throwing in
the Arbier.
The Arbier,
I know.
Which severely, like, he should have been paid for this year. Like, in the fact that they were saying 17, I know you want 21. You know what? We can't afford the $4 million extra dollars.
Very petty.
That was
very petty.
Indicative of how they were treating this contract negotiation relative to Aaron Judge, and it pissed them off. So maybe if they had said, okay, we'll give you the Arbier 21. Hell, we'll give you 25 this year if you want to. But we'll sign this fair deal on top of it. But they undercut him with a fair deal, and then they tried to undercut him with the Arb. And so he's like, dude, you guys don't want to spend money on me, so I'm going to free agency.
But you know that they're going to. And they were just trying to negotiate. They didn't want to go negotiate against themselves, which I understood based on his injuries.
The Braves do
for
that.
For far less money, though. Yeah. You give a kid who's 24 years old $160 million, far different than giving a guy who's 6'8", who's 30, and I love him, who's had some. And I know the injuries have been a little weird.
You got the judges' chambers, and you got 99 jerseys, and on 60% of the fans in the ballpark, they come to see him. Like, I understand what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
And I get what you're saying.
But the Yankees discounted the emotional connection of fans to Aaron Judge.
Okay. I know we got
to
break.
Like, they severely discounted it.
That's a really good point. But to at least be fair to the Yankees, don't you think the emotional connection to Aaron Judge exponentially increased this year? The answer is yes. The answer is yes.
Probably.
So, I mean, can we fault the Yankees as much as you want to on that level?
Yeah, because we all saw it coming.
All right.
We all saw it coming.
All right.
I mean, he was a top five MVP guy last year.
I got you. I'm
just saying.
I got you. Point's been made, Barb. I got you. We see it a little differently.
All right.
I see it right, you see it wrong. Nah, I'm just kidding. 877-337-6666. Tiki and Tierney on the Fan. We're going all in. Coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy,
celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.